Welcome to Lesson 22 in our study of the Book of Revelation as a part of the Prophecy Series. Today we're going to progress right along. We've just noticed in Chapter 12 the whole issue of the three great signs that he has seen and the reality that the devil is making war against Israel and the offspring of Israel during this tribulational period. We're going to come now to Chapter 13, where we're going to focus in on two individuals who emerge during this tribulational period that have a significant part in the story of the end times. So what we're going to notice is we're going to come to Revelation chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18, and we're going to see the two beasts. So here's what I want you to notice. We're going to take this into several parts again. So we're going to talk now about the first beast. So let's take a look at Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, and we're going to see the beast out of the sea. The beast out of the sea. So I want you to notice with me what verse 1 says of chapter 13. And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, its feet like a bear's, and its mouth like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its head seems to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened out its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword must he be slain. Here is the call for the endurance and faith of the saints. Okay, so let's take a look at this first beast. So we're going to break this up into several sections. We're going to notice now when we look at chapter 13, verses 1 to 2, the introduction of the beast. So we got to notice a few things here. First of all, in the first part of verse 1 of chapter 13, the beast out of the sea. Now there is something for us to consider here. So John sees a beast come out of the sea. Now, just so you understand, when we talk about coming out of the sea here, remember they're in the Mediterranean world. So the sea that we're talking about here is the Mediterranean. So he's coming out of the Mediterranean. Now, what does that seem to point for us? Well, the fact that the beast comes out of the sea indicates that he is a Gentile. So him coming out of the sea means he's not from Israel. He's not from the land of Israel. He's obviously from outside, and that means he has to be a Gentile. So the beast is a Gentile. Now, when we talk about the beast, there's several things we need to understand from the studies and so forth. So the title Antichrist, which is what the beast is, can mean an enemy of Christ or one who usurps Christ's name and rights. Most scholars believe the Antichrist will be the ultimate embodiment of what it means to be against Christ. In fact, Antichrist also means anti, meaning false, Christ, meaning Messiah. He's a false Messiah. He's everything that is opposed to the reality of the true Messiah, Jesus. In the last day, a man will arise who opposes Christ and his followers more than anyone else in history. There have been men who have opposed believers throughout the years in Christ, but unlike that, anywhere else in history, this man is going to be completely different. Likely claiming to be the true Messiah, the Antichrist will seek world domination and will attempt to destroy all followers of Jesus Christ and ultimately the nation of Israel. So I want you to notice now, within, when we come to chapter 13, the second part of verse 1 through the first part of verse 2, we're going to see the beast described. There are several things the text is going to bring out to us concerning who this person is. So he is the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, or an empire like Rome, I should say. When we say the revived Roman Empire, oftentimes we've had past people in the past who've said it's the European Union. Well, that was possibly true when there were 10 nations, but there are obviously more nations in the European Union now. We don't specifically know right now who the revived Roman Empire is, but the reality is he is going to be the ruler of some future empire. Now, the 10 heads are 10 nations or 10 regional governments, 10 significant governments that are throughout the world. And so he's going to be a major leader in the midst of these 10 regional governments. Now, what I want you to notice is when we come to chapter 13, the second part of verse 2, we're going to see the empowerment of the beast. We're going to see who it is that gives power to the beast. So this ruler is empowered by Satan. This ruler is empowered by Satan. And it's very obvious from the text that this is true, whether it tells us that or just simply goes by the description. So when you look at the first part of chapter 13, when we look at verses 1 and 2, it describes him as having what? 7 heads with 10 horns and 10 diadems. If we go back to chapter 12 and it describes the red dragon, what does it say about the red dragon? He has 7 heads with 10 horns and 10 diadems. So it's not that the beast is Satan. Rather, the beast is empowered by Satan, or should we say even possessed by Satan. So this ruler is going to be empowered by Satan himself. Now, there's another significant thing that we need to be aware of here is that when we come to chapter 13, verse 3, the fatal wound of the beast. So one of the heads is going to suffer a problem here. So this ruler appears to suffer a mortal wound to his head and is healed. So he's going to suffer some sort of mortal life-taking wound, but he's going to be healed. He's going to be healed of this wound. And the world is going to see it. So the whole world marveled at his healing as they follow him. So during this tribulational period, this world ruler, this Antichrist, is going to suffer a mortal wound to his head, and he's going to be healed of it, and the world will marvel that he's healed, and they will follow him. This is what the significance is. In fact, it goes even beyond just marveling and deciding to follow him. When we come to chapter 13, verses 4 through 6, we're going to see the worship of Satan and the beast. So he's going to be worshipped. And when we talk about the worship of Satan and the beast, I want you to notice. So here's what I want you to see. Satan and the beast are worshipped. Chapter 13, verse 4. And what do we see here? Is that the beast and Satan will be worshipped by people. So the beast will be worshipped because he's going to be raised up because of this mortal wound, and they're going to marvel, and they're going to start worshiping him, and they're going to worship the one who gave him power. Whether they call him Satan or not, they're going to worship the one who has brought about this healing, who brought about this empowerment of this thing. So the people are going to worship both the beast and Satan. Now, what we also notice now is we're going to see in chapter 13, verse 5, the role of the beast. What exactly is he going to do? Well, I want you to see this. This is what is amazing. The beast will assume the role of God. Now, you can see possible reasons why that would be. So he is going to be a supreme ruler. And so we know this from history, that many times even some of the Caesars became convinced that they were demagogues. They became convinced that they were literally gods, of course, until they died and they realized that they weren't. This guy is going to think that he literally is God. He's going to assume the role. And it might be because of his healing from this mortal wound. But he's going to assume that he is God. There's no one else like him. That is power going to the mind. That is power, uncontrolled power, taking over somebody's thinking. Well, then when we look at chapter 13, verse 6, we're going to notice his blasphemy. We're going to notice what it is that he does. And so he will speak out and blaspheme the true God and his people. Now, this is only natural that this is going to take place. If you are convinced that you are God, then of course you're going to speak blasphemous things against what other people might be worshiping. And you're going to speak blasphemy against the true God and against the people who are not worshiping you, but worshiping the true God. And so he's going to speak out and blaspheme God and his people. Now, when we get to chapter 13, verses 7 through 8, what we're going to see now is the worldwide power of the beast. So he's not just going to be some regional leader. This is someone who has power throughout the world. And so what we're going to notice is, of course, when we come to Revelation chapter 13, first part of verse 7, is his war against the saints, his war against believers. Now, what I want you to notice is this. The beast will be allowed to make war against the saints, against those who believe. He's going to be allowed. Who allows him? God. This, of course, is when we have the martyrs who are going to take place. The reality is the beast is going to be allowed to make war against the saints. When we look at chapter 13, the second part of verse 7, we see his authority over the world. This guy will have authority over the nations of the world. And so what I want you to notice is that the beast will have authority over the entire world. At this point in the timeline of the things that are taking place with all of these judgments, this beast is going to have authority over all the world. He's not just going to be some ruler of some nation, he's going to have authority in the world. And because of that, when we come to chapter 13, verse 8, we see the worship of the world. The world is going to worship him. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, all unbelievers in the world will worship the beast. Now, you say, is that possible? Yes, we've seen that. How do we know that? History. All you need to go back and see is that in history, there have been men who have arisen, who have claimed to be God, who are rulers of nations or rulers of empires, and they are literally worshipped by their people as if they were God. And all unbelievers in the world will worship the beast. Now, with that, when we come to chapter 13, verses 9 through 10, there's going to be an exhortation to hear. There's going to be a call to pay attention, to do something, to listen. So what do we hear here? Well, in chapter 13, verse 9, we're going to see the call to hear. Now, what exactly is happening here? The writer calls us to pay attention to what is written. What do you mean, pay attention to what is written? Well, he wants us to pay attention to what we've looked at so far in chapter 13 concerning this first beast and who he is and what he can do and what he is going to do and how the world worships him. Well, with that, so if we're paying attention, there's something else that we need to do. So I want you to notice now chapter 13, verse 10, the call to depend upon God's providence. What do you mean by that? Well, here's what I want you to see. The writer calls the readers to rest in God's providence. Because you can look at this and be scared, like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? He's going to make war. Well, we need to rest in the one who's in control, who is moving everything to a point, to an end in which Jesus Christ will come back. And so we're to rest in God's providence. Well, that's going to bring us to our second section of what we're looking at today. Remember, we're looking at two beasts. Verses 1 through 10, we looked at the first beast, the beast out of the sea. Now we're going to focus in on the second beast, which we're going to see in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18, the beast out of the earth. The beast out of the earth. So I want you to notice what the text says. Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all authority of the first beast in its presence. It makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image